Thank you, ladies. Take your Bible now, if you will, and let's turn to Acts chapter 28. Been preaching through the book of Acts, generally expository. Today, more of a different type. But I want to read these verses of Scripture, and you search your heart as God speaks to your heart today through His Word. Acts chapter 28, and we'll begin with verse 1. Acts 28, verse 1. You know all the things that were happening to Paul, and now the shipwreck had taken place. He was headed toward Rome. He had appealed to Caesar. And then verse 1 of chapter 28, when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. They didn't even know where they were at first. The barbarous people showed us no little kindness. They were kind to them, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm came to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Boy, they were up and down, weren't they? By the way, that's early days of the church, and I wouldn't try that practice anymore. They've done some studies, and there have been a lot of people in the last few years that have died who want to handle snakes. I know they do that in Tennessee, but at any rate, that's not for me. But this was one of those special occasions where God used it for His glory. So they said, "No, he's a criminal." And then they said, "No, he's a god." And in the same quarters, verse 7, were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we had departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. Now go back up to verse 2, if you will, just a second. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire. They kindled a fire because a fire was needed, and received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. Let me talk to you for the next few minutes about kindling a fire. Kindling a fire. And really the subject is about revival. We need revival in our churches today. And you are part of the church. You're an individual. And the individuals make up the local church body. And we need a fire. We need revival in our churches today. I'm convinced of that. And in this text, there are some things that I believe God wants to teach us and remind us of. Number one, we are apt to get cold. Now, I know you've got to preach by faith in Texas on a message about being cold this time of the year. But we are apt to spiritually be cold, right? I mean, it's just a natural thing that there is a tapering off, that there's a dwindling away from revival. That's just a normal thing that goes on in our churches and in our lives spiritually. And there are reasons for that, and I believe it. One reason is because we live in a very cold world spiritually. And we live in a very cold culture in America today spiritually. Our America is so far away from God, it just makes you want to sit down and cry when we see how far we've gotten away from God. The world is cold, and we're apt to be cold. And one of the reasons is because of our culture. It just sort of bleeds over into the church if we're not careful. In And then another reason is because we just have the old nature. We have inbred sin. We're depraved. We have the tendency to be hot or cold. And some of us are neither, and the end result of that is what? Lukewarmness. And we say, well, no, I'm not on fire for God, but I'm not cold. I'm not totally indifferent. That would not be bragging, folks. That would be admitting that you're somewhere in the middle, and somewhere in the middle is lukewarmness. And I don't know if you've read it or not, but it's in the Bible that God despises and hates, does not like lukewarmness. God wants us to be hot or cold, but He does not want us to be lukewarm. And of course, God wants us to be on fire for the glory of God. How many of you today, and don't raise your hand, would say, I am on fire for God? Don't raise your hand. Just in your own heart, you'd say, man, I'm on fire for God. I mean, I just can't get enough of serving God and living for God and living right and doing right. But on the other hand, how many of you would say, well, I'm sort of cold and indifferent. Move me if you can, preacher. I'll come, I'll be there, but I'm just cold and indifferent to those things. To be honest with you, that's where I am. Well, if you're neither one of those, the only thing left is spewing material, right? God said, if you're neither hot or cold, then I will spew you out of my mouth, lukewarmness. They had a reservoir up above that area, and it would start out cold, and by the time it got down to the people, it was lukewarm, and they didn't really want to drink the lukewarm water. And God used that as an illustration to remind us that He does not like lukewarmness. Those cold seasons seem to come. I've been reading through the Pentateuch again and reading through Judges and all of those places and Leviticus, and you begin to realize again and again that Israel went through a cycle. They would be hot, on fire for God, obeying God. The king would be a good king. Then all of a sudden they'd go down. And then they'd cry out to the Lord after God chastened them a while. And then they would cry out to God, and God would touch them and raise them up. And they would go a while, maybe 30 or 40 years. God would give them a good judge or a good king. And then they would get relaxed, and they would be blessed, and they would be prospered by God, and the end result was they got away from God. And they had disobeyed God, and God said, don't marry those women that worship Baal. Don't do that. And they would say, well, they're pretty, and I like them, and after all, we want to get out of our culture a little bit, and we're going to marry them. And then they would intermarry, and then they would impact them, and then they would go down. It was just a natural cycle for Israel, for the Jews. And it's that way in my life, in your life, if we're not very careful. And probably even if we are careful, we have those times when cold seasons come. All around us, we have people that are like frost, no pun intended. He's a good frost, I'm sure, but we have people around us that are cold, and that wears off on us. And we have those seasons that we lie, so to speak, in the frost. And all around we see that. Sometimes it's preachers. I see some of my preacher friends, and of course I've been there and had to get that thing right with God whenever it was. But I've seen some preachers who just get cold in the ministry and get cold about the things of God. That's a bad deal. I see Christian workers that do the same thing. They get ho-hum about doing what they do to serve God. I see churches that get away from God, churches that were really on fire and had a revival spirit, and then something happens. They lose that revival spirit, that atmosphere of revival where people are getting saved all the time and baptized. God help us, we don't want that. And churches should not have that. Saints, individual saints, cold. Cold as ice. Unmovable. Nothing really moves them. The ice cubes of tradition and being complacent all have a tendency to bring us to that place of coldness or lukewarmness. We have a lot of chilling influences around us in our society. They don't like us much nowadays. They look down on Christians. They make fun of us as if we're ignoramuses that really haven't arrived. And there's a lot of modern thought out there that, thank God, we don't agree with, like abortion. We don't agree with that. Abortion is murder. And I must say, and I have to say it, but today one of the number one things that we're dealing with is the homosexual issue. It's going to affect us in the pulpit. One of these days, you're going to see some of the independent Baptist preachers be thrown in jail in America. I am determined to say that because it's already happening in other countries, and it's going to come here. We have these cold influences around us that say, you just need to understand all of these things, and alcoholism is a sickness, and people were born this way, and all of that. Let me say very quickly, I will talk to a homosexual and I will witness to them and try to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. But when they get saved, there ought to be reparation, there ought to be a repairing, and they ought to admit, this is wrong. Why? Because God said it's wrong. Now, do you know more than God? I think not. God said it's unnatural. Read Romans 1 and 2 and read in the Old Testament. And some of the things that happened there. Read what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. Read your Bible and stand on the Word of God. And don't let these cold and different influences water down your influence for the glory of God. The worldliness and all of its standards. And the ungodly society that we live in today. If we yield to the cold, then we're going to get very uncomfortable. We're not going to be happy as God-fearing believers should be. First, we become uncomfortable because of the coldness, and then after that, we become inactive. You get people that are out in the freezing weather, that's what happens. Boy, they're uncomfortable, and they're just, they're rubbing their arms and their hands, and they maybe have that garb on, but then it's a situation where it's so cold that after a little bit, they're not only uncomfortable, but they're very inactive. And then the next thing is they die. I don't want to die in church, do you? I don't want to be a dying Christian. I don't want to be a cold, indifferent Christian. I don't want to be a cold, indifferent preacher. I want to be on fire for God. But we're apt to be cold if we're not careful. It's just part of it. Jesus tells us that there are means of warming up. I'm glad it was a little cool today and it rained outside. It sort of goes with the message. These people had the kindling of the fire. The wood was wet. I know some Baptists whose wood is wet. They showed no little kindness. They kindled a fire. They received us every one. Because of the rain, because of the cold, they started a fire. They had that fire there because they needed that fire. And there are means for us to warm up and get on fire for God. And one of them, of course, is the Word of God. The Word of God will set your soul on fire. If you're not in the Word of God, you don't have much fire, I can tell you that. You must spend time in this book on purpose, regularly, and then God will set your soul on fire. Not only hear it, but read it and do what it says to do. And it's going to warm our hearts. When I don't read the Word of God, and I try to read it every day in a number of chapters every morning before I ever get started, but if I miss because maybe somebody's having surgery early in the morning or I get called out, there's a death, I want to tell you the rest of the day, I miss the fact that I haven't been in the Word of God. Because the Word of God stirs my soul, sets my soul on fire. It just does something to you if you'll stay in the Word of God. I know that's elementary, but how many of us are not doing what is elementary? Stay in the Word of God. When I don't hear the Word of God, I like to go to fellowship meetings to hear people preach. Sometimes after four preachers, I'm a little tired, but at any rate, I like to go and hear preaching of the Word of God. I like to go to the Friends Conference and hear all that preaching. It helps me. It helps me to hear men of God preach the Word of God. I love the Word of God. We need it. And we need to stay in it or we're going to get cold. And then another means is prayer. Obviously, that's part of it. We need private prayer, not just public prayer. We need to spend time in private prayer and pray to God in our family and lead our family in prayer. A lot of you husbands are not leading your family in prayer. God, help you. You ought to be ashamed that you're not leading your wife and children in prayer and in a study of the Word of God. You say, well, I just don't have time and I'm so busy. All people are busy. We all have the same amount of time every day. It's not a matter of time. We have the same amount. It's a matter of priorities. What are we going to do with the time that God has given us? Psalm 39:3, while I was musing, the fire burned. David was saying, while I was thinking about God and God's Word, the fire burned in my soul. Reading the Bible and praying to God. Luke 24:32, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way on the road to Emmaus? As they talked to God, as they were talking to Christ, their heart burned within them. I'm going to tell you, friend, if you'll spend time in the Word of God, it'll set your soul on fire. If you spend time praying every day, you ought to have some time where you pray. Not just, now lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen, good night. No, that's not it. We've got to find time to get on our knees and weep if need be and cry out to God and pray to God and spend an inordinate amount of time in prayer. Prayer is what's going to make you different, and prayer is what's going to make this church powerful if we have it. If we don't have it, we will not have the power of God or the revival flames burning in our hearts here. And some of those sticks there were placed there, and somebody had to do something about it. They were wet, it was cold, and they did that. Another thing that helps us is Christian fellowship. Christian fellowship. Malachi said something about that. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. I believe people ought to have a church home. And they should be faithful to that church home. Faithful to the services. You know, if you get in a room and there's a lot of people in that room, everybody says, man, it's hot in here. Why is that? There's a body heat that's put off so many people in a room. We get in a room like that. It ought to be that way at church. We ought to fellowship together. There should be that spiritual body heat put off from everybody that's coming to church. And when we come to church, we are strengthened to do what God tells us to do. Strengthened to be on fire for God. Strengthened by others. Fellowship that we need. And then Christ teaches us in our text that we should kindle fires for others. I like what old Paul did there. He had been shipwrecked and all of that. If anybody had an excuse to go somewhere and lay down and just lie there, it was Paul. But what's he doing? He's helping gather the bundles and put on the fire as they're making the fire. And I think he was an encouragement to many others around him because of that. We need to light some fires under difficulties. And because of the present rain that is there, let others see the Lord and let others see that we're not going to let these things bring us down and stop us. Paul didn't let it stop him. He had all kinds of problems, but he knew God had promised he was going to be there in Rome, and he wasn't worried about the shipwreck or any of those things. God had revealed that to him. He had a comfort and a peace about the future. But everywhere he went, all that he did, he tried to encourage other people. You and I need to encourage them in every way under all difficulties to do that. The sticks are wet, the hearth is flooded, the atmosphere is damp, and it's not easy to make a fire, and it has to be done, and you're the one that can do it, and you can help somebody else in making that fire. We need a revival at our church, just like any other church. We have a good church, I believe. We preach the Word. We have souls saved regularly. We baptize regularly. But I want to tell you, we're not what you'd call a New Testament, early New Testament church that's having and experiencing what we would call real revival. We need real revival. And everybody here that I talk to on one-on-one, they say, we need revival. We have a group that's meeting. We were meeting on Saturday nights. And what are we praying for? What's the number one thing we're praying for? Revival. Revival. And when we have revival, we'll see more souls saved. We'll see the baptismal water stirred more often if we really have revival in our local church. And I remind you, the church is no stronger than you are as one individual. The church is not the building. It's not the accoutrements. It's not the light fixtures. We are the church, the people. And how strong are we? How revived are we? We need to have a heart for revival. I believe that the fire must be fed with the fuel. And that comes through these things that I've mentioned. Fire has to be fed with that. And everybody ought to bring their bundle. Paul did it. You ought to bring your bundle to the fire. Amen? Bring your bundle to the fire. You say, well, I'm just not that interested, and I'd rather have a more positive church and more positive message. But let me tell you, friend, we need revival. And everybody that names the name of Christ, you should bring your bundle to the fire. What's that? Well, the bundle of participation. You ought to be participating in a local church. Not just soaking up a pew, but participating. And I'm glad everybody comes and all of that. But I'm telling you, we need to come and be a member of a Bible-believing church and participate. Bring your bundle of participation so that God can bless and the church can grow. Bring your bundle of faithfulness. Be in your place. Serve God with all of your heart. And be regular in serving God and doing the right kind of things. Be faithful. Bring your bundle of giving. Amen. It takes money to make a church successful. And I know God has all the gold and all the silver and all of that. But God said, this is my plan that you, my people, find a good Bible-believing local church. You get saved, you get baptized, join that church, participate, serve, do something, and bring your tithes and offerings to the local assembly, the storehouse. Help us out. You're not giving, and you're not giving, you don't have faith. You're not obeying God. God says give. And everybody says, oh, all the church wants is money, and I don't want to hear anybody preach on money. Well, rip it out of your Bible, friend, because it's there. And I want to tell you, the best way you can be blessed is financially or any other way is put God first financially. Bring your bundle of greenbacks to the church or your checkbook or online giving or whatever it is. It all has a part to do with making a church what that church should be for the glory of God. And I thank God for those of you who are so faithful in your giving. There's no way we could have the ministries we have, 130 missionaries, missionary projects, and all of those things. There's no way we could do it without you. But I promise you there's still a lot of needs. And God's work needs us to do that. Now, how are we going to maintain spiritual warmth? How are we going to do that, a spiritual fire in our lives? Philip Henry was writing to his daughter, giving her some instructions years and years ago in 1692, very cold, terrible winter. And here's some things he said, and I think there's some spiritual applications. He said to stay warm, do these things. Number one, get in the sun. Get in the sun. Well, we need to get into Jesus, amen? Make him the priority of our life. The rays of the Lord Jesus Christ, walking with him, having a relationship. We talk about being saved and talk about being Christians. Listen, a lot of Christians have no relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to have a daily relationship with him, moment by moment, walking with the Lord Jesus Christ in a close relationship. So that relationship with Jesus Christ will bring revival in your heart because you need it as much as anyone else. And then go near the fire. Is not my word like a fire? That's going back to the Word of God. How many cheering passages do we have in the Word of God that will lift our hearts as we read it over and over and over? If you want to start somewhere, start in Philippians, where there's such positiveness in it that helps us out. And then keep in motion and keep in action. That'll keep us stirred up. People who want to stay warm, they are always in motion and in action. And God will stir up the gift that is in you and use that gift for the glory of God. God didn't give you your gift or gifts to sit on the shelf. God gave you your gift and gifts to be used in the local church for the glory of God. Keep in motion and action, and then seek Christian communion. That's important that you do it. Get in a church and be involved in that. How can you be warm alone? We need more than one log on the fire. We need a bunch of logs on the fire. We used to use the fireplace a whole lot more when I lived in Indiana. And we had an insert, and we'd have to stoker that thing up and put some more wood in it and put a lot of wood in it, and that would help us out. Even when we had those 15 below temperatures and all of that, because we had enough wood on the fire. But if you let it go down to just the embers and you didn't add the wood, then the fire would go out. God help us, we don't want that. We don't want that. Keep the fire burning. Stay together. Serve God. Stay in the Word. Soul win. Witness to people. That'll help you out. You go out and tell others about Christ, that'll help keep your soul on fire, because you'll see how many people are lost, how many people are without Christ, and what a job we have to try to win them to Christ. And I'm not one that says notch your gun all the time and just go out and pluck them green and pull them off the vine before the Spirit of God's ever dealt with them. But most of us, that's not going to happen to us. But we need to go out there and witness and let the Spirit of God lead us as we tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, God will take our fire, your fire and my fire, and God will use that fire to help other people get on fire, and God will use it in our church if we'll keep the fire burning for the glory of God. It's cold, it's rainy, we have a need. And may God help us to determine, I will be one, whether anybody else does it or not, I will be one that's going to stay on fire for the glory of God. And friend, let me tell you, unless you're saved, you can't even begin to burn. You got to be saved before you can even know what revival is all about. First, you get saved. First, you let Christ come into your heart. First, you let Him forgive you of your sins. And then you become a child of God. And then you can live for Him and thank God, be on fire for God. Why is it that old converts are not as on fire for God as new converts? Isn't that a shame? New converts get saved, thank God, and they're just on fire for God. Old converts have gotten over it, unfortunately. God help us to have the fire still burning. Would you stand? Would you be like Paul and help bring in some of the goods and some of the wood? Would you realize that maybe in your own heart, listen to God now, maybe in your own heart, there's a need for a revival spirit in your own heart. Maybe you've gotten a little cold. Maybe you've gotten a little used to things. Maybe you've allowed the spiritual coldness to come in. Why don't you come to God today in this invitation and say, God help us and God forgive us. And God set my soul on fire fresh and anew this morning. I'm confident that many of us need that very thing today. And dear friend, if you're lost, won't you come? Step out and say, I want to go to heaven. I want to be saved. I want the fire in my soul. And trust Christ before it's too late. Father, again we ask you to bless now the invitation. Have your will. In Christ's name, amen. While we sing, may God help you to come. Remember, we're going to be having the Lord's Supper. We're not to partake of it unworthily. There's something you need to do and pray about and get right before God before you partake of the Lord's Supper. Those who partake of it unworthily, the Bible says, bring the chastening hand of God upon them. May God help us to be right with God today. Would you come while we sing?